seemed familiar to him, as if he had seen them before, as if he had known them all his life. When he lay down to sleep, he faced southward, and there, well up in the sky, above the blank sea, burned the star Gobardon. Beneath it were the two forming a triangle with it, and beneath these, three had risen in a straight line, forming a greater triangle. Then, slipping free of the liquid plains of black and silver, two more followed as the night wore on. They were yellow, like Gobardon, though fainter, slanting from right to left from the right base of the triangle. So there were eight of the nine stars that were supposed to make the figure of a man, or the Hardic rune Agnan. To Aran's eyes, there was no man in the pattern, unless, as star figures are, he was strangely distorted. But the rune was plain, with hooked arm and cross-stroke, all but the foot, the last stroke to complete it, the star that had not yet risen. Watching for it, Aran slept. When he woke in the dawn, Lukfar had drifted farther from Obahal. A mist hid the shores and all but the peaks of the mountains, and thinned out into a haze above the violet waters of the south, dimming the last stars. He looked at his companion. Sparrowhawk breathed unevenly, as when pain moves under the surface of sleep, not quite breaking it. His face was lined and old in the cold, shadowless light. Aran, looking at him, saw a man with no power left in him. No wizardry, no strength, not even youth. Nothing. He had not saved Sopli, nor turned away the spear from himself. He had brought them into peril and had not saved them. Now Sopli was dead, and he was dying, and Aran would die. Through this man's fault, and in vain, for nothing. So Aran looked at him with the clear eyes of despair, and saw nothing. No memory stirred in him of the fountain under the rowan tree, or of the white mage light on a slave ship in the fog, or of the weary orchards of the House of the Dyers. Nor did any pride or stubbornness of will wake in him. He watched dawn come over the quiet sea, where low, great swells ran colored like pale amethyst, and it was all like a dream, pallid, with no grip or vigor of reality. And at the depths of the dream and of the sea, there was nothing. A gap. A void. There were no depths. The boat moved forward irregularly and slowly, following the fitful humor of the wind. Behind, the peaks of Obahal shrank black against the rising sun, from which the wind came, bearing the boat away from land, away from the world, out onto the open sea. Toward the middle of that day, Sparrowhawk stirred and asked for water. When he had drunk, he asked, "Where are we heading?" For the sail was taut above him, and the boat dipped like a swallow on the long swells. "West, or north by west. I'm cold," Sparrowhawk said. The sun blazed down, filling the boat with heat. Aran said nothing. "Try to hold west. Wellagy, west of Obahal. Land there. We need water." The boy looked forward over the empty sea. "What's the matter, Aran?" He said nothing. Sparrowhawk tried to sit up, and failing that, to reach his staff that lay by the gearbox. But it was out of his reach, and when he tried to speak again, the words halted on his dry lips. The blood broke out anew under the soaked and crusted bandage, making a little spider's thread of crimson on the dark skin of his chest. He drew breath sharply and closed his eyes. Aran looked at him, but without feeling, and not for long. He went forward and resumed his crouching position in the prow, gazing forward. His mouth was very dry. The east wind that now blew steady over the open sea was as dry as a desert wind. There were only 2 or 3 pints of water left in their cask. These were, in Aaron's mind, for Sparrowhawk, not for himself. It never occurred to him to drink from that water. He had set out fishing lines, having learned since they left Lorbenary that raw fish fulfills both thirst and hunger, but there was never anything on the lines. It did not matter. The boat moved on over the desert of water. Over the boat, slowly, yet winning the race in the end by all the width of heaven, the sun moved also from east to west. Once Aaron thought he saw a blue height in the south that might have been land or cloud. The boat had been running somewhat north of west for hours. He did not try to tack and turn, but let her go on. The land might or might not be real. It did not matter. To him, all the vast, fiery glory of wind and light and ocean was dim and false. Darkness came, and light again, and dark, and light, like drum beats on the tight-stretched canvas of the sky. He trailed his hand in the water over the side of the boat. For an instant, he saw that, vivid. His hand pale greenish beneath the living water. He bent and sucked the wet off his fingers. It was bitter, burning his lips painfully, but he did it again.